Hello everyone, this is Scott Howell, and I'm going to do the podcast on the Macintosh that I've talked about on and off for a while, and hopefully this will be a good take here. Hey, what's up buddy? Payne is my German Shepherd seeing eye dog here. He came up to visit me. Hey big guy. I'm recording this actually sort of in a funny way. I'm using the line out / headphone jack of the iMac, and the microphone is quite sensitive, so hopefully it won't pick up too much background noise from the family downstairs. But I don't have a door I can close in this office, but and you probably also hear the Arcos, which I'm actually recording this on. You can hear the hard drive clattering in the background there. I haven't totally figured out the program that I'm using to actually capture the microphone of the iMac, which is built in. I'm using Audio Hijack Pro. Let me go ahead and describe the iMac to you. I've been using computers, building them, blowing them up, pretty much anything due to a computer, I guess, for probably about 20 years. And I have been using Linux probably since about 1999 or so. So switching to the Macintosh operating system wasn't tremendously difficult to do. But I will certainly explain at least the reasons why I use a Mac and why I like it over using the Windows operating system. The pros and cons and so on and so forth. When I bought my wife the Mac Mini when her Windows machine kind of crashed. And when went to buy the, and I've actually, I'm getting kind of ahead of myself here, but I originally started out playing around with a G4 notebook that my employer purchased so we could do some accessibility testing. And actually, I just asked him for it. I said I'd like to try this out and see, how accessible Tiger and the VoiceOver screen reading program would be. And so they got me one, and I got kind of into using that. And when I ended up buying her the Mac Mini, I laid my hands upon the iMac and decided I just had to have one of those. The iMac is a fully integrated machine. The screen, it's a 17-inch screen. They have a 17 and a 19-inch model. The motherboard, hard drive, everything is all enclosed in the in with the screen. So I mean, it's basically one unit that sits on your desk. It sits on an L-shaped bracket, which is its stand, and that's connected into the back of the unit. It can be detached, and you can get a bracket. You could actually mount it to the wall if you want to do that. The unit does have, it comes actually in two models. The 17-inch is a 1.9 gigahertz processor, which is quite speedy. The 19-inch model, or I'm sorry, the 20-inch model, I'm stating that incorrectly, it's a 20-inch model, actually has a 2.1 gigahertz processor. Now, of course, Apple has released the new dual-core Intel machines, which is actually just found its way into the Mac Mini. They've just released the Mac Mini, which actually has a 1.5 gigahertz processor in it. And I don't recall what the new Intel models have in terms of processing power. They're dual-core chips, so they're a little faster. I wouldn't run out and buy one today. Well, actually, I would. The problem is there's not a lot of software, not all the software that's available in the market has been ported over to the new Intel architecture. You know, they're working on it, and a lot of stuff has been released. So, I mean, don't let that steer you from buying one if you choose to do so. The iMac that I have is a G5 processor. The Mac Minis and some of the laptops are G4s. I do have a PowerMac, which is actually like a tower system, which has, I believe it's two dual-core power PC chips in them. And I'm drawing a blank on that right this second. The iMacs come standard. Actually, I think most of Macs all come standard with about 512 megs of RAM. I upgraded mine to 1 gig. It uses a DDR RAM chip, so you can buy the Apple branded chip, or you can buy a third party chip. I happen to buy a third party chip just because it was a little bit cheaper, but certainly you know, you can use theirs or use another one. The machine itself is about 16 inches. I have to remember myself now. It's about... I just knocked a little remote control off. I'll talk about that. It's actually magnetically attached to the side of the machine. Put it back on there. The machine's about 16 inches tall and about 14 inches wide. And not quite... maybe about an inch and a half thick. So it takes up very little real estate on your desk. On the rear of the machine, if you were to turn it around, on the left-hand side, at the bottom, you have all your ports. You have a line-out slash headphone jack, a line-in slash digital in jack. These are eighth-inch jacks. You have, right to the right of those, you have three USB 2.0 ports. to the right of that, you have two FireWire ports. To the right of that is the RJ45 Ethernet port. And to the right of that is an output for a video. It's a funny little plug. It almost looks like a USB plug, but it's not. It's, I believe, a little bit more narrow. And you could use that for another monitor or other... I think you can actually get an adapter so you can connect it to like a projector or whatever. In the center of the machine, actually on the stand, there's a hole, and that allows you to feed cables through it, like the power cable, and about in the center of the machine is where you plug in your power cable. Below that, there's a security lock socket. It's for one of these cables you could plug in, so you could, you know, it's a security cable, you know, so this way you could lock it down so, you know, it wouldn't get stolen or whatever. To the very right, lower left-hand corner is the power button, which is used, obviously, to turn it on or put it to sleep, or if you hold it in for more than, 5-6 seconds or something, it'll actually power off the machine completely. You don't really need to use this button other than really to turn it on, or if it gets completely hung up, you can obviously use that button to turn it off. Along the bottom of the machine is basically a vent. It's an intake vent. It stretches clear across the machine, and up on the back of the machine, probably about an inch or inch and a half down, is a long slot, and that's where it exhausts out, you know, blows out the heat. The machine is extremely quiet. It has about, I think it's 3 or 4 fans inside of it, and they run very, very slow. They only speed up as the machine, you know, gets warm. And so they're variable speed fans, and they're extremely quiet. On the front of the machine, this is the iMac G5. It's a EyeSight. So it has a built-in camera in the upper, above the screen along the edge of the machine, there's a camera, and right to the left of it is the microphone, which is very, very small, but it's an extremely sensitive microphone, it appears. In doing my test recordings, let's see, the speakers are built into the machine. They are actually quite good sounding, I think. There are no speaker grills on the front of the machine. The sound just sort of emanates from the casing, which is like an acrylic casing. It's not metal, it's an acrylic. It's very smooth. It's a nice looking machine, and it's pretty solid. Now, on the front of the machine, as you're looking at it with the screen in front of you, on the right-hand side, there is a slot, and that's for the dual-layer DVD burner. So this particular CD-ROM drive will will read DVDs, and obviously, hence its name, obviously CDs. You can burn both CDR and CDRW, DVD discs, which are the 4.7 gig discs, and the 8 gig dual layer discs, which is really a nice benefit. Right below that, there's actually a little magnetic spot on the case where you can plant your remote control. It does come with a little small remote control. It's only a couple of inches long, and really all it's good for is it has front row, which is sort of a media center type arrangement. You can control DVD playback and MP3 playback and so forth. It so far it doesn't appear to be particularly accessible, but I don't know what Apple's plans are in the future for that, but I really don't use it much anyway. But you can turn the volume up and down and so forth. So I mean, it's kind of handy, but I really don't have much use for it. So it just sits there. I will mention that the Mac Mini does not come packaged with a keyboard or a mouse. I guess the assumption being is that you already have your own monitor and you can use a PC keyboard and a two-button mouse if you want to. I highly recommend that you spend the money, which isn't very much, and go ahead and buy the mouse and keyboard that's designed for the Apple. The keyboard and mouse, it does come with the iMac, and I think they're extremely good. The mouse is kind of unique. It's called a Mighty Mouse. It looks like a regular mouse, except it doesn't have buttons on it. You can squeeze the sides of it. You can click the top half, and I know you can make it left click, and I guess you can make it right click also, but since I really don't use it too much, I can't really say. It is an optical mouse, but it also does have a little scroll ball on the mouse, so you can scroll all over the place 360 degrees. You can go anywhere you want. That's probably pretty much enough for the mouse. I don't really have much use for it, so it just stays plugged in. The keyboard. The keyboard is a little smaller than a standard PC keyboard, although the keys are full-size. There's no wasted real estate at all. The keyboard's compact, but it's got everything you'd ever need on it. Let me kind of describe the keyboard a little bit. On the very upper left-hand corner is your escape key, which is slightly larger than the function keys in terms of its width. It's the same height, but the width of it's a little wider. There are 16, let me just make sure, 4, 5, 6. Yep, 16 function keys. The function keys actually are kind of interesting. There's the normal set that are like F1, F1 through F10. And actually, I'm sorry, F1 through F12 are normal size keys. F13 is kind of a wide key, almost like the size of a backspace key on a keyboard. Then there's a slight gap, and you have F14 through 16, which are sort of where the scroll lock key, the print key, and I forget what the other key is on a PC keyboard. And then to the right of that little group there, there are your keys that allow you to turn the volume up and down, a mute key, and the eject key. That's right, the eject key is on the keyboard. There is no eject button on the machine itself for the CD-ROM. It's on the keyboard. The rest of the keys are pretty much standard as far as, you know, your accent tilde mark and your number row keys. Your, they call it the back delete key, which is basically backspace. And all the other keys are the same on the keyboard. The big difference being is that down at the bottom where your control key, your Windows key, and your Alt key would be, on the Apple keyboard, it's the control key, the option key, and the command key. on this particular keyboard, I'm sure this is true with all the Apple keyboards, it on either side of the spacebar are two command keys, and directly next to those keys would be your where your Windows key would be, for example. On the PC keyboard, on the Apple keyboard, that's your option key, and then your control keys. In the six-pack row of keys, the only real differences are is you don't have an insert key, you have what they call the help key. I honestly haven't used it very much. I'm not really sure what it does. I'll have to probably experiment a bit more to find out what it does. I just haven't had much use for it. You do have the standard forward delete key there. Below where insert would be, which, like I said, they call the help key. And you have your cursor keys, your home end, page up, page down. And, of course, below that, the inverted T, which is your up, down, left, right cursor keys. The number pad on the PC keyboard is very much like the number pad on the Apple keyboard. The only difference being is it does not have a numlock key. It's a keypad, a number keypad, period. You know, that's it. That's all it is. And it has basically, there's a where the numlock key would be, it's the clear key. And pretty much all the other keys are the same. Although there's one key I honestly forget what it is, so we'll have to experiment with that one maybe a little later. Also on this keyboard, there are two USB 1.1 ports, and I happen to have my mouse plugged into one of those. So there's an extra one on there, and you use it for devices that are 1.1 compliant. I don't think you really want to plug a 2.0 capable device in there. Wouldn't be much point. A little bit about VoiceOver. VoiceOver's actually been in production now since April 29, I believe it is, 05. So it is not as far along in terms of its development as most Windows-based screen readers. And obviously it's not perfect. I don't know any screen reader that is completely perfect. It does have some issues yet to be worked out. It certainly is very usable, and I've been very successful at doing virtually everything that I was doing on a Windows PC, or even on my Linux box for that matter. I pretty much can do on the Macintosh. There are some things in the Linux shell that I'm not really doing on the Mac right now, and that I'll kind of get to that as I go along. I mean, the terminal access is what they call the shell on the Mac, and it certainly is not as good as the shell access you have on a Linux box running SpeakUp, but it does the job. Some of the similarities to Windows and the Macintosh is it does have a desktop. And you can put anything you want on the desktop. You can put shortcuts or what they call aliases to programs. You have your, anytime you, and this is definitely something I love about the Macintosh and obviously about Linux and any Unix-based operating system. And I should mention at this point that the Apple, since they start running OS X, is using OpenBSD as its underlying operating system, with their GUI, if you will, running on top of that. I think this definitely is an extremely good thing. It's very flexible. It's very stable. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it. It's really an absolutely amazing operating system. I really do like it. It's running on Darwin, which is the version of BSD that's running on. I also mentioned here, I'm not an expert, guys. I'm a hacker. You know, I like to muck about with these things, make them work, get what I want done, do some experimenting. So, I'll try to be as accurate as I possibly can. Stay away from the areas I don't think I can really address too well. VoiceOver is a core component of the operating system. I also wanted to mention that. But the thing that I really want to mention about the desktop and the thing I like definitely more than Windows or DOS or any other variant thereof that Microsoft has put out is that if you were to put, let's say, a flash reader on your machine, and you stick a flash card in there, or you plug in one of these flash drives like the thumb drives or what have you, or any device that, you know, like an external hard drive, it actually mounts that drive onto your desktop. So there's no A or B or C or D or anything else. And that's true with all Unix and Linux distributions. And that holds true, obviously, with the Macintosh. The drives are or volumes or partitions or whatever are mounted to the desktop, so you can just go directly to them and do what you need to do. It uses sort of a tree structure. You have a root, which is always called slash, and is usually called the Macintosh HD, you know, Macintosh hard drive. That's your primary hard drive in the machine. And I like this structure very much. There's no worrying about having to go to drive A or drive D or X or Q or whatever. You know, it doesn't make any difference. It's just one great big gigantic tree. It may sound kind of bewildering, but to be honest with you, once you've gotten used to using it, it's great, because you can go from one place to the other and not concern yourself with necessarily where something is. You can, you know, whether it's on that hard drive or that partition, you just can go through the directory structure and locate what you're looking for. And VoiceOver is a core part of the operating system. It does speak at the login prompt. It does not speak at the boot, through the boot process. It's not a part of the kernel itself. So therefore, that's one thing it does share in common with the Windows operating system. As Windows-based screen readers, it will speak at the login prompt. Actually, one of the beautiful things about having it as a part of the operating system is you can walk up to any Macintosh computer running Tiger 10.4 or later, and you just simply hit Command F5, and the machine will come up speaking. So that right there alone is great. I mean, I did it in the store. I just walked up to a machine. I knew from doing some reading that Command F5 would get the machine talking, and I couldn't have been happier. You know, I mean, it's great. You know, you can't do that going to a store. And I'm sure most places aren't going to let you install your screen reader. to dabble around with the, you know, the machine or mess around with it or whatever. I know there'd be a lot of people argue the point of having a standalone separate screen reader versus one that's actually a part of the operating system. I can see both sides of the coin, so I'm not even going to bother debating whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I just think it's, you know, in this case, it's a great thing. I can see a lot of the advantages of it versus the disadvantages, but I don't see anybody else working on a screen reader for the Macintosh or any other accessibility for the Macintosh in terms of screen readers or magnifiers or what have you. And yes, there is a screen magnification built into the operating system. It does have voice recognition built in as a part of the accessibility. Universal access is what they call it. And it works pretty good. I've actually kind of played around a little bit with it. You know, I can ask the machine what time is it and it'll tell me. I don't generally make much use of it, so I just kind of disabled it. Didn't, I mean, it was sort of a neat thing to play with, but since I really had no real serious use for it, and maybe I will eventually, but in any event. So, it does have the, like I said, the desktop. Like all Unix and Linux-based operating systems, what it does have, it has a home directory. It's a multi-user, multitasking operating system, so you can, you actually do have a home directory on the system. Each user has their own home directory. You do have an administrative account that you can set up, or you can run as a regular user, and you can basically run as yourself and give yourself administrative privileges, which allows you to, you know, make changes to the system, add and delete users, and so forth. and you can have accounts that are just for regular users so they can't mess around with the innards of the system. Your home directory is easily accessed by a couple of keystrokes. Actually, there's a lot of shortcut keys. There's actually one of the nice parts about, and this is true with Windows too, you know, you have more than one way to do something. And I'm always learning new tricks. I'm not 100% perfect at using VoiceOver, I mean, because there's always a way to do something, and there's always different ways to accomplish a task, so I'll show you all the basics. I won't try not to get too far afield or too involved here. You know, I keep this kind of simple, and if folks want to hear more, let me know. I can cover other aspects of the operating system or software individually or what have you as you know, if there's interest. But I just mainly want to introduce the Mac to people and VoiceOver and explain, you know, what kind of what brought me to it. I know some folks, when I initially mentioned I wanted to do this podcast, they wanted to know what applications were available. Well, there is an OCR solution, which I think is quite affordable. I think it's normally around $120 for Read Iris, and it's IRIS. Read Iris, actually, I did get at a discount, I guess, as being a new user. I got it for like $59, so it was some kind of a deal. I don't know if that deal's for everybody when you first buy it or not, but I did buy an Epson scanner. It was a relatively cheap scanner. I don't consider it probably the highest quality scanner in the world, but the results from it and from the software are quite good. So it works quite nicely. It's a little kludgy because of the scanner does have a piece of software that that Read Iris actually captures its images through. So you do have to kind of step through a little bit more of a, you know, more through the process. And I guess if anybody's ever used, you know, OpenBook or something like that, obviously it's, you don't have to go through those steps. So And for this, folks have used HP scanning utility. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you don't have maybe quite as many steps as you do with what I'm using, but it's not a big deal. And yeah, I imagine at some point it'll improve, or I'll find a scanner that may not necessarily require this go-between, if you will, between the OCR software and the scanner hardware itself. I do have CD burning software, which is fairly accessible. Like most things, you know, the software is not... if you all remember back in the early days of Windows when things weren't so friendly, that's kind of where VoiceOver is right now. I expect that obviously to improve only with time. And the more vendors that work towards making their software accessible. So Apple's done a very good job at putting the information out there for developers. I think with time, developers will start working to make their software accessible. There are several vendors out there who are working quite diligently and accepting user feedback and doing their best to make their software accessible. So I have a very good CD burning software on here. I did buy that. I bought Toast Titanium 7. And there is other applications. I mean, they have iChat, which works with several... I can't remember all the different clients it works with, but it does work with... not clients. Services. There is an MSN Messenger, I believe, available for the Mac. I haven't tried that. Skype is available. Since I haven't remembered to launch the application and actually try to make a phone call, I can't tell you how well it works, but the interface is pretty accessible and works quite nicely is from that standpoint. You will not find Microsoft Office or pretty much Microsoft anything accessible on the Mac right now. I don't know what Microsoft's plans are, but I assure you that... I know I've been working on that angle, being I work for NASA, and we have quite a few Macintosh machines for 5-way compliance. I imagine that Microsoft's going to have to address the issue at some point. That kind of doesn't matter because the Mac comes with a nice suite of applications all by itself. There's a program called TextEdit, which will read and save to, I'm pretty sure it saves a Word format, but I know it'll read Word documents, no problem. I believe it'll deal with Excel spreadsheets. I don't recall, honestly, I haven't actually tried that, come to think of it. Thought I had, but I guess not. At least I don't remember. There is a program called Mariner's, or a company called Mariner Software that has a suite of applications. One's a word processor that they are probably in the next few months will be fully accessible, and they'll be working then on their spreadsheet application, which will deal with Excel and so forth. And of course their word processing package will deal with virtually any Word document. There are some things that obviously aren't going to be perfect because of the proprietary nature of Word and Excel and so forth. So that's coming down the pike pretty soon, and I'll tell you that certainly is a lot cheaper than Microsoft Office. And of course you have to buy those applications. They don't come installed by default. And there is a lot of software Apple does have out that's not accessible. So, hey folks, like all good things, they all come in time. I mean, you know, accessibility on the Windows platform has been around for 10 years or so. On the Mac, it's only been around for not even quite a year. So, I only expect good things to come. I keep saying that, but I believe that's true, and Apple seems to be quite dedicated to this. Yeah, I'm a Mac convert, I admit it. Hey, what can I say? They do obviously have a mail reading application. It's very accessible. Actually, most things are quite accessible on the Mac. Most of the software. iTunes is not very friendly, so that's something that you can deal with scripts. There actually are Apple scripts that are written. I've not played with them extensively, but that's one thing you don't have to do with VoiceOver. There's no scripts to write. it just works. Now, to kind of describe how you navigate around, because I'm not going to go on about the software. There you go. You heard the ding. That's my mail letting me know there's mail that just came in. By the way, I should mention, and I neglected to do this when I was talking about the hardware. The Mac does have a built-in wireless network card. They call it the Airport Extreme. It also has Bluetooth built in. So you pretty much have everything you need in one small package. Not as small as the Mac Mini. I should mention, if nobody's ever seen a Mac Mini, they're quite cool. They're only maybe 6x6 by, I think, 3 or 4 inches. They look like a big sandwich. And they're quite neat. let me go ahead and explain a little bit about how to navigate with VO or VoiceOver. We just call it VO for short. I guess basically to describe it is you don't have separate cursors. Like in JAWS you have a PC cursor and a JAWS cursor. In WindowEyes you have the WindowEyes cursor and the regular PC cursor. There's just the VoiceOver cursor. And the VoiceOver is capable of tracking and having the mouse pointer or the regular cursor track with VoiceOver or vice versa. So I mean, you do have quite a bit of capabilities, and it's kind of hard to describe all the. I'm not probably the best person to describe it, some of these exactly how to articulate how all the navigational aspects are in terms of how cursors track each other and so on and so forth. There are some instances where you don't want cursors tracking each other, and VoiceOver is slick that you can just hit, you can actually hit the, the VoiceOver keys plus F8, and you can bring up a menu and make some on-the-fly changes. VoiceOver keys, I should tell you, the VoiceOver keys consists of two keys on the keyboard. You hold down the control and the option keys together, and then you use your arrow keys to navigate, and you can do all sorts of things. I mean, basically, those two keys are what makes everything happen. I apologize if I'm not articulating this super clearly or concisely. It's probably the best I can really do, but basically you hold these two keys down almost all the time. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, you can actually lock them down. There's actually, by hitting, and I'll just call them VO keys instead of saying control option all the time, but if you hit control option or the VoiceOver keys plus a semicolon, I should say and the semicolon, so not the plus key, and the semicolon, you can lock those keys down. I generally don't. My hands just rest on the keyboard, and I just naturally hold it down, unless I'm reading long web pages or what have you. You don't always need the VoiceOver keys to navigate. For example, when you're reading email, you can just use regular standard arrow keys. But when you're in a web browser, you do need to use the VoiceOver keys and the arrow keys to actually navigate around web page. There is no Microsoft accessibility or MSAA mode or anything like that in VoiceOver at all. And I don't think that they have an off-screen module. I asked once on the Mac Visionaries list about that, and I don't recall I ever got a response. I guess I might have to ask again. All right, let me give you an idea of how things go. Now, I think the screensaver is on, so I'm going to have to log back in here, or I should say...
Screensaver off.
Let me slow this down just a tad. If I hold down the voiceover keys, remember Control Option and Command, I can change some on the fly some settings with voiceover, such as
rate, slower.
Now it'll get really slow. Here, let's go all the way down.
Slower.
It's too slow. What happened?
Authenticate.
Window.
You must authenticate to unlock the screen. Mac OS X Finder. AppleWorks. Faster. AppleWorks. US English.
Window.
AppleWorks. US English.
Selected.
Folder.
I just happen to actually be in my applications directory, or folder, as they call it. Not at the desktop where you normally would start.
Close window.
Okay, so now I'll be back at the desktop, or I should be. If I want to just jump to the desktop, I can actually hold down the voiceover keys, shift, and the letter D, and it'll take me right to the desktop.
Desktop. Add selected tracks to iPod and backup V1.1.
Selected.
Folder.
Now, these are some files that I have sitting up on the desktop because I haven't got around to clearing them off. Generally, the default, whenever you download anything, it's going to be on your desktop. And this is some stuff that I haven't actually moved to a download directory. I actually configured Safari, which is the web browser, to put that stuff into a dedicated download directory just because I didn't want my desktop being all cluttered, but I haven't cleaned it off either. Okay, so anyway, just a few things you can change on the fly with VoiceOver is the rate.
Pitch.
You can change the pitch.
Higher. Lower. Normal. Lower.
That's as low as it goes.
Higher. Normal.
Yeah, I leave it at normal.
Volume.
Yeah, volume.
Louder. Soft. Normal.
These are normal settings. These are default settings. You actually set all this up in your VoiceOver's utility, and it lets you know when you have it back to the normal setting where the defaults are, where you put it when you configured it originally.
Rate.
You can have rate. We're back to rate again. And
fast. Normal. Maximum.
This is as fast as it goes.
Rate. Normal. Slower.
But it's not as fast as I think like Eloquence or some of the other synthesizers, but it's fast enough, I think, for most folks. I wouldn't mind seeing them tweak it up just a little bit, but hey, as fast she goes. Okay, we're at the desktop, so just kind of explain like where the about the Macintosh hard drive.
RC default RLS Macintosh HD
selected.
Okay, here's the Macintosh hard drive. This is where I would hit Command O to open.
Open icon view.
Scroll.
Macintosh HD.
Window.
11 items.
Icon view.
Scroll area.
Now, you have a couple different views here. You have the icon view, which everything on the screen looks like a little icon. And with VoiceOver, what you would do is when you encounter text or virtually anything, you do what they call interact with it. You would actually hold down VoiceOver keys, shift, and the down arrow, and
applications
selected.
Folder.
Stop interacting with icon view.
Scroll area. I was actually already interacting with it.
Applications
selected.
Folder.
Now I'm interacting with it, and I can just cursor around.
Developer selected.
Applications
selected.
Folder.
Developer
selected.
Folder.
System
selected.
Folder.
Now, there's also the list view, which if you hit Command 3, now not all of these are VoiceOver specific commands. Some of these are just strictly Apple commands. Command number 2.
Outline.
It puts it in the what they call outline, and you'd interact with that.
Row 8, User Guides and Information.
Selected.
Folder.
December 18, 2005, 4:51 a.m., 4KB, alias.
So that's sort of like your details view in Windows.
Folder. Row 7, System.
Selected.
Folder.
February 1, 2006, 9:36 p.m., folder.
So, and then we have, which is kind of one of my more favorite ones, Actually,
expanded folder row 7 system
select
folder row
actually,
7
you
system
can do this
selected
folder
February 1
hush. If you tap the control key, that'll shut it up. In the icon view, you actually have to command O to open, or there's a couple other ways to interact with like expanding the folders, but I'm not going to go through all the details. I mean, if you want, I'm going to give you some URLs at the end that will take you to more voiceover information you know what to do with. In the list view or the column view, you can actually just use the regular arrow keys, not the voiceover arrow keys, but you use regular arrow keys, and you can go up and down the list. If you hit right arrow to expand the folder, if you hit left arrow to close the folder. The only big difference with the column view is you don't have to listen to all the dates and times and blah blah blah. So here, let me throw it over into that right quick.
As column view
browser.
Now this is command number 3. It takes you into the browser mode. But it says browser, but I mean column view. And I need to interact with that.
Voice run finder system
window button.
Okay. VoiceOver just
slower.
Got a little freaked out for a
one
second.
Item. One column view.
Browser.
Actually let me go to the window a little bit here for you. It tells you
voice run finder system
window button.
Slower.
Now when it's saying that VoiceOver is on, what's happening is every once in a while, instead of crashing. Well, I guess it is crashing. It's restarting itself. It gets hosed every once in a while, and like any good application, but it restarts itself. It's a part of the system. The system will restart it automatically. And not picking on Windows, guys, but the fact is if a screen reader crashes, the box is toast. So I so far have not had an experience where VoiceOver is completely wrecked the box and I've had to actually reboot it. Sometimes VoiceOver will get confused or get squirrely on me, and I can just hit Command F5 to turn it off, like this.
VoiceOver off.
And hit Command F5 again.
VoiceOver on the finder system.
And of course, it's going to start back at its default, you know, where I have everything configured, rate and pitch and so on and so forth. So let me slow it back down.
Slower.
So
one item, one back
button.
You have a back button. If I were deep into some directories, you can use a back button to back out of it. If you were, let's say, an icon view or something.
Sidebar
list.
The sidebar list. Let me interact with this real quick and kind of show you what that's all about.
Interact with sidebar
list.
Macintosh HD
selected
volume.
This is where you'd have
Audio Hijack Pro 2
selected
volume.
These are different volumes that are actually mounted right now. Disk images, things like that that are mounted. I'm not sure why that one's still mounted. I thought I unmounted it. Anyway, that was Audio Hijack software I installed. It's still an image that's obviously mounted somehow.
Desktop selected
folder.
You got everything here. You can get to your hard drive, your network, your desktop. Pretty much everything's here in a sidebar list, and you can customize all these things to have whatever you want in them or not. And I haven't done a whole lot of customizing.
It's 22 hours,
and the clock just happily told us it's 22 hours, which is 10 p.m. And you can set it to announce the time every hour. That's just part of the clock feature. That's not a voiceover feature. That just happens to be something the system's capable of doing.
Howell selected
folder.
That's S Howell. That's my user directory and my username. Consequently,
applications
selected
folder.
And that's a folder.
Movies
selected
folder.
And these are different folders within.
Applications. Magnet Medusa
select
network Medusa
selected. Yeah, Medusa. That's the name of the machine.
Network
selected
volume.
Network. Is it considered a volume?
Macintosh HD.
Stop okay, interacting let me get out of this
back.
And get
9 items.
Work
back.
Me,
button.
Sidebar. Forward. Dim. Icon view switcher.
Radio button.
So you can actually have the radio buttons here to change from icon or list and column view.
List view switcher.
Radio.
Column view switcher.
Selected.
Radio button.
It's faster just to use
action.
The keyboard.
Menu button.
There's an action menu, which if you hit the voiceover keys and the space bar, which is sort of the simulated mouse click.
Menu. New folder. New folder. New burn folder.
The burn folder's for, like, making CDs. You can burn CDs with OS X without necessarily having CD burning software actually installed, but obviously CD burning software is going to give you a lot more capabilities than what is by default included with the operating system. But I mean, it works, it's good, but it's good for archiving more than anything else.
Open. Get info.
You have a get info, which will give you information about a directory or a file or what have you.
So inspector.
The inspector is sort of another investigational type tool.
Copy Macintosh HD.
And you can copy your whole hard drive to someplace if you want.
Show view options. New folder.
And
new folder.
Back around, so.
Closing menu. Was run. Finder Macintosh HD.
Window.
Back.
Button.
Hey, what's the matter with
slower, you? Slower, faster.
Alright, so VoiceOver's decided to act up today.
Sidebar.
List.
Back.
Button.
9 items. Column view.
Browse.
Column view. On. Applications.
Folder.
Row 1 of 9. Column 1 of 1. Applications.
Selected.
Folder.
Faster.
Let me speed that up just a tiny bit.
Applications. Mac OS 9.
Selected.
Folder.
And it's saying Mac OS 9. And that sounds like saying Mac Quest. But hey,
Burn folder.fppf.
Selected.
Developer.
Selected.
Folder.
I do have all the development tools installed on the machine since I like to mess around with installing other Unix software. Talk a little bit about that perhaps in another podcast. There's a couple of open source projects. There's the open Darwin port, which is an open source. You can install that on your machine, basically have a full-blown, you can install a lot of Unix applications, BSD-based stuff, that have been ported to Darwin, Linux-based stuff's been ported to Darwin. There's also Fink, which is another open-source project that, but, you know, I won't go into great detail on that in this podcast.
Library.
Selected.
Folder.
Developer.
Selected.
Library.
Selected.
Folder.
Library, there's tons of stuff in here. And like I said, I'm not going to go into all the core parts of the OS unless people really want me to do it.
SW.
Selected.
Folder.
That's SW directories actually where my Fink stuff is installed in.
System.
Selected.
Folder.
System obviously has all the system core parts of the OS in it. Applications directory has all the applications you install and stuff that comes with Tiger installed.
User guides and information.
Selected.
Folder.
Not much in here, guys. There's a PDF in there that talks about the G5. I'm not really sure. There's nothing much in there, so I really don't even know what the heck they have it there for. I guess you can put user guides and information if you are so inclined.
Users.
Selected.
Folder.
And here's your user directory, or folder, if you will. The user folder where all the user account, or all the user home folders are stored.
User guides, SysS Live Developer and Applications, macOS Applications.
Selected.
Folder.
Like I said, this is a tree structure, so I'm sort of at the root basically at the root level. Not quite the top root level, but I have to get actually into the shell to really show you again. Well, it is basically the root. I mean, there are some things that don't show up in here, and I think there's a way to customize it. You can see everything, but there's essentially some things at the root level that nobody really has any need to bother with, so this lets you see all the directories that you really need to be concerned with. And if I want to expand this application directory, I just hit right arrow.
Plus.
Selected.
Folder.
Address. Book.app.
Selected.
Application.
Adobe Reader 6.0.
Selected.
Folder.
Now, you can forget the Adobe stuff on the Mac. Tiger includes a program called Preview, which works, I think, personally better than Adobe's Acrobat Reader on Windows anyway. So, you know, you don't need necessarily to have Adobe installed to read PDFs. Mary, you don't have to have Adobe installed to read PDFs or create PDFs. It's capable of printing to a PDF file, and you can read PDF files using Preview. So, I mean, you don't necessarily have to have Acrobat Reader installed to handle PDF files. Unfortunately, you can't edit PDF forms and so forth with Preview, but hopefully there will be an accessible version of the Adobe Acrobat Reader, and you can enjoy the same access as you do under Windows. So, there are some limitations right now, but hey, I think, like I said, all good things will come in time.
AppleScript selected.
Folder.
You have AppleScript, which lets you do lots of really cool stuff, and you can write scripts to do a considerable amount of system activities.
AppleWorks, U.S. English, selected.
AppleWorks is sort of like, I guess, the equivalent of Microsoft Works, I think that's what that's called. Not accessible, so don't really use it anyway.
Audio Hijack Pro.app selected.
Application.
That's a wonderful program that I'm working with the author on to make it even more friendly.
Audio Recorder 2.2 selected.
Folder.
I haven't checked in to see this one. This is a little recording program. I downloaded this when I first started playing with the Mac, and I bounced with you. I haven't really messed with it too much, so I'll have to experiment with that a little
automator.
Bit.
Automator. Selected.
Application.
The Automator application is really cool. It'll let you, it'll actually basically write scripts for you. Obviously, it's not as powerful as writing scripts by hand, but it'll certainly get things happening for you, and it's really kind of neat. But enough
applications selected.
Enough on what all the applications are in here. What I wanted to actually talk about now is on the screen there, and at the bottom there's a thing called the dock. In the dock, I guess you could think of it sort of as if you were to click start on Windows and hit if you click on start, I guess it's sort of like in the start menu where you have, I don't want to say it's sort of like programs, because you can just pop into the applications directory and grab any application from there and hit Command O to open it and run it. And you can use Command O to open documents, programs, applications, whatever. But what the dock is, it's where you can put most all the programs that you're going to use on a regular basis. And you can tell from there what's running, and you can launch programs from there or documents or what have you. You can remove things from the dock. There really is no way to drag things into the dock, but you can drag like URLs and stuff like that into the dock if you wanted to do that. I have not found a way to do that with VoiceOver yet, and I'm kind of hoping that Apple will look into making that possible. But basically, you can see what programs are running. You can run programs from here, from the dock. And the way you get into the dock is you hit the VoiceOver keys and the letter D.
Dock terminal.
And there's the terminal application, which I use fairly often.
Text edit.
There's the text edit program for doing your text editing and what have you.
System preferences.
System preferences is sort of the equivalent of the control panel in Windows. And I'll run through a little of that with you here in a minute.
iCalendar,
it just calls it iCal, and it's not overly friendly at this point, but again, I'm sure that they'll be looking into this, because it looks like it'd be a very nice application. It's kind of sort of friendly to use, but I haven't been able to figure out how to get a calendar actually set up. So yeah, I'm going to tell you guys all the pros and cons here and the goods and the bads, you know. So I'll tell you what applications basically that I've, you know, that are in here that are not overly friendly and which ones that are. And there are folks out there who have been more successful at using some applications than others, and including myself. So what I might not find quite as friendly, other people have found workarounds for. And that's why I joined the Mac Visionaries list, so that I could obviously talk to other blind users who are using the Macintosh and, you know, talk about VoiceOver and pretty much anything to do with the Mac in terms of accessibility. And everybody on the list actually is real helpful, even with just issues concerning the operating system and some problems or questions or what have you. It's a wonderful group of people. GarageBand lets you do all kinds of, you can create music and edit it and do a lot of fun stuff with that. And you can actually buy upgrades to these packages by, like, I guess these are sort of considered the light version, if you will. And you can, for some of these like GarageBand, you can buy one that'll actually let you do podcasting and so on. I haven't thoroughly figured out GarageBand, so I haven't bothered to spend the money to buy something. I'm not sure how friendly it is. So I'm still working with some of these, some of this stuff.
iDVD.
That's like a DVD player. The I in front of it is part of the iLife package, and I really don't know how to equate that to anything that you might find on Windows per se.
iMovie HD. iPhoto.
Yeah, it has iPhoto, which lets you edit pictures and stuff like that. I'm not sure what the
iMovie HD.
I'm not sure if that's just for playing high definition movies or DVDs or what. So, maybe it's like it might be an editing package for movies. I honestly don't know. I haven't really looked into that one. I figured I probably wouldn't use it anyway.
iPhoto. Address book.
Address book is quite VoiceOver friendly. And I probably should use it a lot more than I actually do, and I wouldn't forget so many names and addresses and stuff.
iTunes.
Yes, good old iTunes.
iChat.
iChat, that's very accessible, and it works with different, I think it's like AIM, and there's a bunch of ones it works with, and I can't remember what all of them are offhand. I know it works with the Jabber, and a couple other things, and you can do video conferencing with it. Although I've never bothered since, what would be the point of that?
Mail running.
Now, there's mail and it's running, so it tells you that. And this is just actually using the left arrow or the right arrow. You can go back and forth. Now, here's what happens if you go down, just to give you an idea if I hit the down arrow key.
Menu. Get new mail. Compose new message. Remove from deck. Open at like in. Show in finder. Hide. Quit. Quit.
Okay, so you can quit it.
Hide.
You can hide it.
Show in Finder.
You can have it in the Finder, which is... The Finder is basically running all the time. I guess it's sort of the equivalent of Windows Explorer. You know, it's always there. It's always running. And that's what gives you the ability to see the desktop and... excuse me, all the other... pretty much everything. I mean, that's what lets you get through your folders, and it's a mighty important thing.
Open at like in.
Check mark.
Now I have mine always launched when I log in, so it automatically is running when I log in, and you can enable or disable that as you see fit.
Remove from dock.
I can remove it from the dock if I want to, but since I use it all the time, I won't bother obviously doing that.
Compose new message.
I can compose a message right out of the dock. Don't even have to go into the mail program if I'm just happen to be reading a web page and I want to fire off an email real quick and jump to the dock and, compose a message. Hey.
Get new mail.
I can hit on this button here to get new mail if I want.
Get new mail.
And that's actually at the top, so let me see here.
Get compose new mail. Get new mail.
Unfortunately, once you're in the dock and you down arrow, I have not found a particularly easy way to get out of, to continue on, so that's an interesting thing. I'll have to
closing menu. Finder. Macintosh HD. Selected.
There's the Finder that I was mentioning.
Dock. Mail. Running.
Back into the dock.
Safari.
There's Safari, the web browser.
Dashboard.
dashboard has a bunch of widgets that lets you, and some, a lot of these aren't very friendly, and some of them are, some of them aren't. They're just little programs, I guess, if you will. Real small things that kind of let you look at the weather or you know, there's like a little calculator. There's a regular calculator. It's already in the applications directory, so there's a bunch. You can download all kinds of widgets. Now, even one that lets you watch TV on your computer through the internet. I didn't find that particularly useful. So, and I'm not sure exactly what website it's tapping for its feeds, but Apple didn't write it. It's somebody actually wrote it, and they mention it in their widgets download section of their website.
Finder running.
Now, Finder, like I said, that's always running. That's what lets you do all the things you need to do with as far as finding your files and not finding files, but negotiating your folders and so forth.
Trash.
Yep, it has a trash too. It's the equivalent of the recycle bin in Windows. And what's really slick is you can actually empty the trash can without actually going into the trash. Just with a few keystrokes. So there's one thing that, as far as I know, you can't do in Windows, and that, I think it's kind of handy to be able to dump things out right away.
Multimedia
folder.
This is actually something I inherited from when I brought some stuff over my employer's laptop, and most of the stuff in there is kind of not necessary, but I just left it on here. You can actually take a machine and basically move all your settings and all your stuff over one machine to another if you want to. There's a lot of neat things you can do with that.
Audio Hijack Pro, Toast Titanium, Reed Iris, Mac the Ripper, Terminal.
Anyway, that's basically the dock.
Finder, Macintosh HD.
To get into a menu, sort of like the menu bar at the top of the screen, you'd hit voiceover keys and
menu bar.
On Apple.
You always have an Apple. You're always pretty much every application is going to have an Apple menu, and it kind of this is basically what's going to be in the Apple menu.
Apple menu about this Mac.
And if you hit enter on this, you get a lot of information about your system. You can find out what version of the operating system you're running. You can access the system profiler from here and get just it's sort of like the equivalent of the system in control panel. You go to what is it, system. And you can see Device Manager. It's sort of the cool of what the System Profiler is. It gives you loads and loads of information about your machine, about the software on the machine, the hardware, pretty much every aspect of your machine.
Software update.
Ellipsis.
You can do software updates, or like what the equivalent of Windows Update. And this does not launch a web page. This actually is an application in and of itself, which is obviously quite voiceover friendly.
Mac OS X software.
Ellipsis.
This says Mac OS X software. This actually takes you to a site in Apple's domain that you can look at all different kinds of software you can download. Some of it's shareware, freeware, all kinds of good stuff.
System preferences.
Ellipsis.
You can access system preferences from here also, as well as from the dock.
Dock.
Submenu.
And you have a submenu. You can do some things to the dock from here. Let's see what we got.
Dock.
Submenu.
On. Turn hiding off. Turn magnification on. Position on left. Position on bottom. Position on right. Dock preferences.
Ellipsis.
So you can change a lot of aspects of the dock from here, and I can hit
Apple
menu
on dock
submenu.
If I use the voiceover key and left arrow, I can go back. If I try
dock submenu
on turn hiding off Apple
menu
there we on go. Or dock. I can use just sub-menu. A regular arrow key to step back to the left and close that that option, if you will, and I can continue on
location
submenu.
Location, and here we have
location
submenu
on 1800DIALIN.
I gotta clear some of this stuff out. This is stuff I inherited from when I was using my employer's laptop, I forgot to remove some of this.
8.1.8.0.0.9.1.automatic. Home.
Check.
Local dial home.
Check mark.
Home is actually, this is all to do with the networking.
Local dial in. Location 9/1 Apple.
Menu.
Okay. On location.
Basically, this, you have different locations. I don't know what to equate this to in the Windows world. But you can have different dial-in or networks configurations that you can access from here. I guess it's probably the best thing I can say.
Recent items.
Submenu.
You have a recent items, like you do with Windows.
Force quit.
Ellipsis.
You have a command force quit.
Escape. Recent items.
Submenu.
Recent items.
Submenu.
On audio hijack. Pro.app.
Now, these are things that I've accessed recently.
Microsoft Word. MIGWIZ.exe. WinSafari.app. System preferences.
App. So system
profiler.
App.
Apple.
Menu.
On recent items.
Submenu.
Force quit.
Ellipsis.
Command option escape. Force quit finder. Command shift option escape.
So you have force quit, and you have also force quit whatever application you happen to be in at the time you access this menu. Force quit, you can kill a particular application, or if you go into force quit finder, for example, you can actually, this is for if an application is not responding properly, you can actually kill it.
Sleep.
There's a sleep option here, which I won't won't click on for obvious reasons.
Restart.
Ellipsis.
And we know what that does.
Restart. Shutdown.
Ellipsis.
And you have a shutdown, so I should put the, make the machine go to sleep.
Shutdown. Logout. Scott Howell.
Ellipsis.
And I can
Command Shift Q.
Log out, which I'm not going to do.
Logout. Scott about this Mac.
And we're back to the top of the menu. Now it does actually have
Logout. Scott Howell. Command logout Scott Howell.
Ellipsis.
Command Shift Q.
Now, I can't remember why it has two of these, and I read it in the tutorial, but I'm not
logout
going
about
to
this Mac.
Try to sit here and guess. Let me go back to the
closing menu.
Back to the desktop, if you will. If I were to hit VoiceOver keys and the letter M twice in rapid succession. Well, you don't even have to rapid succession. You can actually go like this.
Menu bar.
On Apple.
I apologize. I wanted to go through the rest of this menu. Sorry about that.
Finder.
Where it says Finder, if you can actually go into this menu.
Finder menu. About Finder.
This will tell you about the Finder program.
Preferences.
Ellipsis.
Preferences. Command, you can actually change a lot of aspects of how things are displayed in the folders.
Empty trash.
Ellipsis.
Command shift delete.
Well, you all know what that is.
Empty trash. Command shift option delete.
That right there will not ask if you are sure you went to empty the trash. It just blows everything away. And it gives you the shortcut keys.
Empty trash.
Ellipsis.
Command shift delete.
That will ask you if you want to empty the trash. You can do this from the keyboard, obviously. You don't have to be in this menu.
Empty trash. Command shift option delete.
That's the one that won't ask for confirmation. It just empties everything in the trash.
Secure empty trash.
This basically scrubs out, puts zeros, and it stomps all over all the files when it deletes them so that nobody could possibly recover them and do anything with them. That's pretty cool.
Services.
Submenu.
You have a services submenu here, and I don't see what all's in here.
Services.
Submenu.
On Chinese text converter.
Submenu.
So you got some things like that.
Disk utility.
Submenu.
Disk utility is where you would partition, format, and repair. There's quite a few things you can do with disk utility. Extremely handy application, an absolute necessity.
File merge.
Submenu.
I've not really messed with file merge. Hey, what's in there anyway?
File merge.
Submenu.
On compare files.
You can do file compare.
Compare to master. Compare files.
So,
services.
There you go.
Submenu.
On file merge. Finder.
Submenu.
Finder.
Submenu.
On open. Reveal. Show info. Open. Show in services.
To be honest with you guys, there's some things in here I've not submenu. Played with extensively, but I mean, if folks are really interested, I will go through. I haven't had enough time to do as nearly as much learning as I'd like to. got more going on in my life than I know what to do with at times. So I come home in the evening from work after my two-hour trip and read some email and have my supper and rack out and get up at 3 in the morning to go to work again. And, you know, play with my dog and my kid and wife and try to take my dog and work him a little bit more because, you know, I don't always get enough time at work to walk him as far as I want to. So, as long as I've had the Mac, I have not been able to play nearly as much and read as much as I really want to. So, I might do another podcast and go into even greater detail, but I will wait to see if you people really want me to do it.
Fun book.
Submenu.
Fun book.
Submenu.
Fun. Create collection from text. Create fun library from text.
This is for fonts.
Services.
And stuff.
Grab.
Submenu.
You have a grab.
Grab.
Submenu.
On screen.
Dimmed.
Selection.
Dimmed.
Time screen.
Dimmed.
Screen.
Dimmed.
Now these are dimmed out because
services.
Submenu.
On grab.
Submenu.
I guess it's doing something with the screen capture, but since I haven't really twiddled in there, well.
Import image.
Dimmed.
There you go. Well, we can't import an image because we haven't got one to import.
Look up in dictionary.
It does have a dictionary. And I'm pretty sure that one's pretty friendly. I know it does have the World Book application, which is quite accessible, and you can pay for that. It gives you sort of a light version, but I think you can actually pay to get access to the stuff on their servers. It's not an Apple product. I can't remember the company that actually puts it out, but it's very, very cool, and I intend to play with it a bit more. You can type in a word like German Shepherd or something like that, and it'll look it up and give you a whole history of it. And it's like encyclopedia, World Book Encyclopedia. And I don't think it's very expensive. You can find lots of Apple-based software for very good prices. And continue on.
Mail.
Submenu.
You have a mail submenu.
Mail.
Submenu.
On send file. Send selection. Send to. Send file. Send to. Send file. Services.
Submenu.
On this mail. All the stuff that's in the services submenu.
Make new sticky note. Command shift Y.
And I can't remember what all sticky notes are about, but I think it's like writing yourself a post-it, if you will. And we'll have to investigate that a little bit more and see how friendly that is, and if it is, then I'll tell you all more about that.
Notepad.
Submenu.
Notepad.
Submenu.
On open current selection. Open current selection. Open current selection.
And you hear that little chirp? That's sort of telling you,
Services.
Submenu.
On notepad.
Submenu.
It's an indicator, and I'm trying to remember what all they are. I've gotten so used to them, I just kind of ignore them. So if you hear the blurps and chirps, it's usually because it's either the beginning or end of the list, or actually, I take that back. I think it's actually more of when some attribute is changed. We'll go through some of the voiceover options here in a minute. I don't want to drag this podcast out forever.
Open URL. Open URL in Real Player. Script Editor.
Submenu.
Search with Google. Command Shift L.
Yep, and you can, there's a lot of stuff you can. Google's basically their default search engine, so you can search from almost any place, pretty much.
Send file to Bluetooth device.
Ellipsis.
Command Shift B.
And since I don't have one, I never tried.
Skype.
Submenu.
In Skype, I actually installed a little submenu here. There's all these little services and things. It's
Skype.
Really kind of
submenu.
Cool.
On add contact call.
Hey, what's up, Payne? Came back to visit me again? I'm sure he's going to go look for a ball, so about 1 minute, I'm sure he'll be back in here.
Send message. Services.
Anyway, that's kind of what's in the Skype.
Submenu.
We'll kind of speed this up a bit.
Speech.
Submenu.
Speech.
Submenu.
On start speaking text. Stop speaking. Start speaking services.
Submenu.
Spotlight.
Command Spotlight. Spotlight's awesome. It'll let you search anywhere and everywhere, no matter what. If you're looking for a file or something on the hard drive, it's the almighty powerful find.
Summarize. Text edit.
Submenu.
View in Java browser. World Book Dictionary.
Submenu.
There's the World Book Dictionary.
World Book Encyclopedia.
Submenu.
There you go.
Chinese text converter.
Submenu.
Okay, we're back around again.
Finder.
Menu.
Hide Finder. Command Hide Others. Command Option H. Show All.
Dimmed.
About Finder.
Okay, so we're back at that, back around. Now let's go file. To, we have File, we have the normal stuff under File.
New Finder window, Command, New Folder, New Finder window, Command N. New Folder, Command Shift N. New Smart Folder, Command Option N.
I haven't read much on the Smart Folders. I'll have to read up a little bit on that. I figure anything that says Smart probably somehow isn't going to be smart for me, so I guess I'm just kind of dumb. So I like to do things myself. I look into that a bit more, but and things start doing, trying to be smart on their own. Somehow it always spells disaster or I'm concerned.
New burn folder.
So you can create a folder for making an archive to burn to a CD or DVD.
Open. Dimmed. Command O.
Being there's nothing highlighted to open. That's why it's dimmed out.
Open with
submenu.
Yeah, there's like in Windows, you have an open with.
Open with
submenu.
On Microsoft Word, Apple Works 6, Citrix ICA, Graphic Converter, Help, Viewer, .app,
dimmed.
Internet, Explorer, .app, Microsoft PowerPoint,
dimmed.
Mozilla, .app,
dimmed.
File,
menu.
No, Mozilla,
submenu.
And Internet Explorer not accessible on the Mac, so I just mentioned that. Safari is your only browser right now. There's one other browser, I think there's one other two browsers out there that work. I've found Safari to work for pretty much most things I need. So I usually don't much bother.
Always open with
submenu dimmed.
Now you can configure, like my case, Microsoft Word documents. I want them to always open in text edit, so I set that from basically this menu.
Print
dimmed.
Close window
dimmed.
Close all
dimmed.
Get info. Command I. Show inspector. Command option. Get summary info. Command control I.
You'll see a lot of these repeated throughout any application, or you know, if you're in the Finder, you mean, so a lot of these options are going to be the same.
Duplicate.
Dimmed.
Command make alias.
Dimmed.
Command L. Show original.
Dimmed.
Command R.
Now make an alias. You like it's like a equivalent to putting a shortcut on your desktop or whatever. It's probably the best way I can describe it.
Add to sidebar.
Dimmed.
Command T.
You can add that to the sidebar if you want. I found my sidebar actually a little bit too crowded. I start clearing that out at some point.
Add to favorites.
Dimmed.
Command Shift T.
Haven't messed around much with the favorites to tell you the truth. So, you know, I can get into that a bit more in another podcast if y'all want.
Create archive.
Dimmed.
Move to trash.
Dimmed.
Move to trash.
Dimmed.
Command eject.
Dimmed.
Move to trash.
Dimmed.
Command delete. Move to trash.
Dimmed.
Command option delete.
Now these are both have different meanings. And by the way, a lot of the help information, it's either local on your machine or it's on the internet. And you can, the help is like, has like a mini browser. It's very voiceover friendly. It's great. I'm going to go into that here in a bit.
Eject.
Dimmed.
Command D.
There's your eject. You eject anything you mount, you have to eject. And that's always important. So there's one thing you have to do, unlike Windows, where you just eject the CD from the drive and you're done. You can eject a lot of things without necessarily unmounting them, you know, or I should say remove like a flash card or what have you, but it's always recommend you eject it first, because otherwise the operating system will start fussing at you about, you know, you may not want to do that, dude, because I may not have been done writing all the files back to it. So ejecting it is definitely a great thing. It's the equivalent of unmounting in the Unix, Linux world, if you will. They just call it eject. Definitely a very important thing. Just don't yank your flashcard out of your reader without ejecting it first or unmounting it, because if it had done writing the files back to it, then you probably just trashed your card, perhaps. So, there you go.
Burn disk.
Ellipsis. Dimmed.
Find.
Ellipsis.
Command F.
Dimmed.
New Finder window. Command N.
So we're back to this.
Edit.
We have the typical things in edit.
Can't undo.
Dimmed.
Command Z.
There's nothing to undo.
Cut.
Dimmed.
Command X. Copy.
Dimmed.
Command C. Paste.
Dimmed.
Command V.
Now obviously things are all dimmed out because I haven't got nothing selected.
Select all. Command A. Show clipboard. Special characters.
Ellipsis.
Can't undo.
Dimmed.
Command Z. View.
You could change different aspects with views.
Add icons.
Dimmed.
Add list.
Dimmed.
Add columns.
Dimmed.
Command 3.
I'm sorry, I should let him probably speak to accelerated keys, but if you're not using a Mac right now, you probably don't really care about them anyway.
Clean up.
Don't know about what clean up does. I've never tried that one. I guess it's a good question. Some of the stuff, to be honest with you, I know what I want to get done and I get it done, so I haven't played with every single thing possibly in here. And I should probably do that so I can do a more concise and interesting podcast. I don't know. But like I said, I just wanted to introduce you guys to this and explain a little bit. And so...
Clean up selection. Arrange by...
Submenu.
High toolbar.
Dimmed.
Command option T. Customize toolbar.
Ellipsis. Dimmed.
High status bar.
Dimmed.
Show view options. Command J. As icons.
Dimmed.
Command 1.
Okay.
Go.
You have go.
Back.
Dimmed.
Forward.
Dimmed.
Command right bracket. Back.
Dimmed.
Command left bracket.
There you go. You got shortcut keys for most everything, to be honest with you. So that's another beautiful thing. And Windows, I think, has a lot of shortcuts, too. I don't know probably every Windows shortcut key. I've probably forgotten some that I used to know. And by the way, if you go from Windows to a Mac and back and forth, it's very rare that I find myself confusing commands and stuff.
Forward.
Dimmed.
Command right bracket. Enclosing folder.
Dimmed.
Command up arrow. Computer. Command shift C.
Now, enclosing folder is basically like if you had expanded, you'd close it.
And computer. Command shift C.
Now, this is where you can, I'll have to go in there and let's see. Let's digress a sec here, let's take a little sidebar, a detour.
Medusa.
Window.
12 items.
All right, Medusa's the name of my computer. I have a thing about Greek gods and goddesses. I don't know where this started. Way back when I started running Linux, and it's just kind of followed me up for a while. I guess because I have lack of thinking of a better name for my computers. My wife has Pegasus, and I think my kid downstairs has Windows, but I think I called it Athena. And I think I called my whole wireless network Hydra for some reason. Apollo is my Linux box. I just couldn't think of any better names, so hey. Somebody comes up with a better naming scheme, let me know. let's see.
Three items. Column view.
Browser.
Column view 1. Audio Hijack Pro 2. Audio Hijack Pro 2.
Selected.
So volume.
Show me some of the volumes it's mounted.
Macintosh HD.
Selected.
Volume.
Network.
Selected.
Volume.
Now, if you go in the network.
Hydra.
Selected.
Folder.
Library.
Selected.
Hydra.
Selected.
Folder.
The Hydra folder. So I think that's actually a holdback from something else. Some of this stuff is...
Library.
Selected.
My network.
Selected.
Folder.
Let's see what's in my network. Nothing.
Servers.
Selected.
Volume.
Medusa.local.
Selected.
Volume.
Applications.
Selected.
Now,
Medusa.local.
Servers.
Selected.
Local
volume.
Address, so there's probably not much point in
doing work group.
Selected.
Folder.
Work group is, if you're familiar with networks at all, this is like a local... But there's nothing...
Servers.
Work
group.
Work
selected.
Group.
Folder.
I haven't got that set up anymore. So,
network.
Not much
selected.
Really in...
Volume.
In here.
Macintosh
so,
HD. Stop interacting with column view.
Selected.
Browser.
Let's see.
Close window.
Browser.
There we are.
RLS.
Back
0.6 alpha.iso.
Selected.
Finder. File view. Go window. Go. Go menu and home. Command shift H.
Okay, there's where you can hit Command Shift H and go into your home directory.
Computer. Home network. Command shift K.
You can connect to other. Computers on the network going this route, or
iDisk.
Submenu.
You have iDisk, which is a really cool service from Apple. They call it the DocMac service. That's where you have email, you can have private and public folders all on their servers, and you can use iDisk is literally like a internet-based disk. And you can put folders up there, you can put them, like, they're secured. I mean, all this stuff is secured, or you can have public. I can do all kinds of stuff with it. I haven't gotten the DocMac service yet. I just haven't really, I mean, I've looked into it and I've thought about it, but I'm kind of being a cheap person. I just haven't decided to spend the money. I think it's like $100 a year, which is actually not bad. I mean, you get a couple of gigs of storage space. And I think for like a family account, I think it's like $179 a year, and you get up to, I think it's, you get 5 accounts, and I believe it's like 2 gigs an account, and, you know, email and all that good stuff. And they give you a bunch of utilities. You can like back up all your important data to their servers if you want, or like all your computer settings. I mean, I have a friend of mine, he backs up all of his address book, he puts a lot of stuff that, you know, I'd consider to be a little sensitive, but he puts the stuff up there and he's never had a problem with it. I mean, Apple protects it and keeps all that stuff safe and it's secure. And he really loves it. And, you know, I think it's kind of worth it in a way. I mean, if you are looking for kind of the ultimate backup solution, I mean, that it sure as hell is one way to do it. I mean, if you're storing it on another server that's obviously backed up and so on and so forth, and pretty doggone secure, I've never heard of anybody having their .Mac account hacked. I mean, wow, your machine could completely have a hard drive failure or burn up in a fire or whatever. And I mean, all your important data is there, and you can pull it all back down, everything back down when you get your machine, you know, reconfigured or, well, install the operating system or whatever, and you're back up and going. So I mean, it probably is. It's like insurance, and it's, I guess, fairly cheap insurance when I really think about it. So I think I've just talked myself into maybe getting that .Mac account. you can put everything on DVD and CD-ROMs and whatnot and put them in a box and all that good stuff. But, I mean, honestly, it sounds to me like this is pretty much like the ultimate kind of setup. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, enough of that. Sorry, I get off these little tangents here.
Applications, Command-Shift-K. Applications, Command-Shift-K.
These are basically these is kind of the go like in Windows, if you will. And you can get all these with these shortcut commands. I mean, this stuff is really, really easy to get around in this.
Utilities, Command-Shift-U.
Utilities is another directory, which is actually off the applications directory, and there's a lot of stuff in there, and you can jump right to it and get access to your disk utility and all sorts of cool stuff.
Recent folders.
Submenu.
Obviously, trying to figure out what that is.
Go to folder.
Ellipsis.
Command Shift G. Connect to server.
Ellipsis.
Command K.
Actually, you can browse a network with command option. No, what is it?
Go to reutil apply disk network home network. Command Shift K.
Yeah, this will let you actually browse a whole network for servers.
Go to full connect to server.
Ellipsis.
Command K.
This will let you actually connect directly to a machine if you know its name on the network.
Back.
Dimmed.
Command left bracket.
Okay, so we're back at the top of that menu.
Window.
Window.
Minimize. Minimize all.
Dimmed.
Zoom.
Dimmed.
Cycle through windows.
Dimmed.
Bring all to front.
Dimmed.
Cycle through windows.
Dimmed.
Bring all range in front.
Dimmed.
Minimize.
Dimmed.
Okay,
command
you know what that is.
Help.
And you have help.
Mac help. Command question mark. Mac help. Command question mark.
Mac, that's
Mac
what
help.
It's in
there. Mac help. Apple help.
Right, so I want to go into the help for one second.
Menu.
I want to show you all this. This is pretty cool. All right, I'm gonna use the VO keys to navigate around.
RC default tap when or less.
Where the heck am I? Oh, Alt tab.
Audio hijack Pro. Audio hijack Finder.
Alt tab, by the way, or Command tab, as you'd call it on a Mac, will actually cycle you through applications like Alt tab does.
Mail. Audio hijack Finder. Mail. Audio hijack finder.
And for some reason.
Finder or less.
I don't know why the help didn't come up. Let me see.
Help. Window. Help. Help. Menu. Mac help. Command question mark. Mac help. Audio hijack pro. Built-in audio. Internal mic help viewer. Mac help.
There we
window.
Go. Back. It's just button. Babbling about as it's loading this. It's obviously flashing on the screen what applications are running. It does that sometimes. Jeez, it does that in Windows too, huh?
HTML content.
Alright, HTML content. We interact with that by doing command, the voiceover keys, the shift, and the down arrow.
Interact with
HTML content.
15 items. What's new in Tiger?
Okay, now I'm gonna
enable control option lock.
There you go. Control option lock is the voiceover keys and the semicolon, and now I don't have to hold those keys down so I can arrow up and down.
Link.
Check upgrade new features. Discovery your Mac.
Link.
Work smart, play hard. Top customer issues.
Link.
Connect you to the internet.
Link.
Remembering passwords.
Link.
Switching from Windows.
Here. There's a link everybody be interested in.
Press switching from Windows.
Link.
You'll find that Mac OS X and Windows have many of the same components, though some of the names are different and you may be unfamiliar with where things are located. The links below will help you get acquainted with Mac OS X. You'll also discover some of the many exciting and unique features of Mac OS X. If you've been using Windows computers but are new to Mac OS X, the information on
this thing to read the whole screen. Actually, if I were to, let's say we're reading that and I start running my mouth, I tap the control key. If I tap it again,
page will help you get started with your.
It'll pick up where it left off and keep reading. If I hit the voiceover keys and the letter A, well, since it's already locked down, I can just hit A.
If you've been using Windows computers but are new to Mac OS X, the information on this page will help you get started with your new computer.
Continuous reading, pretty much.
Mac OS X. Image of Windows.
Image.
Moving Windows files to your Mac.
Now, I think it stops when it runs across one of these images.
Image of Windows.
Image.
Moving Windows files to your Mac. Moving Windows files to your Mac. Image of Macintosh computer.
Image.
Connecting networks and the internet. Connecting networks and the internet. Image of network. Setting up image. Image of iChat set printy. Image of printer.
Image.
Connecting and using peripherals.
So it'll read up to a hits.
Image of digital camera.
Image.
Switching from.
Link.
Index.
And you have an index where you can go in and pretty much
disable control option lock.
Look up everything individually by topics, and so on. So that's kind of how help works.
Finder RLS.
Command Q.
Selected.
ISO disk image.
Yeah, it's a disk image sitting on my drive that I've been meaning to put on the CD. You don't use Alt F4. You use Command Q to quit. And the Command key again is sort of like the Alt key in Windows. You used Command C to copy, Command V to paste, Command X to cut. Now the one thing that's kind of unfunny about, at least, I'm assuming it's true with all the Mac operating systems, or at least OS X, is if you don't cut a file and paste it from one place to the other, you actually copy it, put it where you want it, and go back and delete the original. I don't know quite why they do it that way, but I guess in some ways it's probably a good thing. Maybe it's not. I guess it depends on that. Matter of fact, I'm going to let y'all hear what it sounds like when I just delete the trash without asking, have the dialogue come up asking me if I'm sure. I just want y'all to hear this neat sound.
Empty trash. Trash.
Dialogue.
Interact with.
List.
Operation progress.
Group.
Now I could actually interact with this and find out what it's doing. There may be some stuff in there that it can't delete or whatever, so let me see what's going on with that.
Interact with operation progress.
Group.
Three items.
Unknown.
Interact with.
Unknown.
Three items.
The operation cannot be completed because the item audiohijackpro.dmg is in use.
Now see, it knows it's mounted, button. So
continue.
Button.
If I click continue.
Press continue.
Button.
It's not going to really do anything.
Selected.
RLS.
It knows that disk image is obviously still mounted, and so once I go unmounted, then and I'm not really sure why it's mounted.
RC default add selected. Quick convert PRF3. Quick convert .zip PRF my notes. Selected to iPod backup .zip. Get available episodes. Audio hijack pro 2.
Selected.
Let me eject this. Command E will.
Eject audio hijack pro 2. Icon view.
Group.
There we go.
Quick convert. Add selected. Quick convert. PRF my notes. Selected. Get available app. Macintosh HD.
Okay,
selected.
So now we should be able, in theory here, hopefully, to. I don't think there's anything else mounted anywhere else.
Empty trash.
There you go.
Finder has new dialogue.
Okay, so we're done empty the trash. Anyway, I have not even scratch the surface of the Macintosh operating system. I honestly don't know what folks would really be interested in. I mean, I can give you... Let me go into mail here. And I'll use... let's see.
Voice over off.
I don't know if mail...
Mail. Slower.
Mail must be... Oh, I know what I did. I minimized all the windows.
In delete dim inbox 14 messages to unread
window
14 items
delete dimmed
button.
Okay, let me see here.
Mailbox actions
menu
new mailbox
button
mailboxes
outline
interact with mailboxes
outline
unselected inbox to unread mailbox to unread mailbox sent mailbox trash
collapsed level 0
line cool tech 66 unread
collapsed level 0
I actually have a sub mail folder under Blind Cool Tech.
Stop interacting with mailboxes.
Outline.
I intended to put it there, but I forgot
delete,
to move it.
Mailbox act. Delete. Let's messages. See.
Table.
Messages. Or it's like a table, so we're going to go
interact with messages.
Table.
On row 1, thread blank, flags blank, status. Read status from Ray Forrest Jr. Subject. BCT. Regarding starting my own podcast. Day received. Today 7:16 a.m. blank.
Now, if we want to read this, I could hit enter. Or I could use the jump to command, which is voice over keys plus the letter J. So here you go. It will not read the header information. You actually have to interact with that separately. And that, I kind of like that in a way.
To link item.
Text.
Yeah, that's one of the new ones. Actually, the trick is to read that PDF manual very carefully. It assumes you're operating the unit in advanced mode. If you carefully read the description of what each thing does, you will see how it's layered in the other choices. Also, Sony uses asterisks to indicate in the manual when an item has a submenu, so once you've figured out their way of putting things, the rest is actually almost child's play. Sincerely yours, the constantly barefoot, Ray home phone and fax, 900.
So there you go. I can hit the, again, the jump to command.
Enter blank.
And we're back to
row 1, blank, row 2,
list.
blank, read, status, Margo and Elmo, row 3, open thread,
collapsed,
disclosure triangle,
row 2, row 3, open thread,
collapsed,
disclosure triangle,
blank, two unread messages, the Scarlet Wombat, BCT, regarding another inexpensive microphone sound pitch, today 10:33 a.m.
Okay, and you can customize a lot of stuff in mail here, but let me, I'm going to hit the right arrow key and expand this thread because you don't have to have your stuff in a thread like this. You could just have it, I like having it in the thread. If I don't want to read the thread, I can just hit the delete key and poof, it's gone. The whole thread, no matter if it's message 359 and 1,264,000 and whatever, you know, it just blows the whole thread away. So I kind of like that.
Messages.
Table.
Okay, now I'm going to interact with... I can check out each one of these messages in the...
Row 5. Close thread.
Collapsed.
Disclosure triangle.
Blank. Read. Status. Done. Ball. BCT. Regarding. Another inexpensive microphone sound. Pitch. Today 10:33 a.m. Row 6. Blank. Read. Status. Rich Desteno. BCT. Inexpensive mics. Today 10:40 a.m. Row 7. Blank. Row 6. Row 5. Row 4. Close thread.
Collapsed.
Disclosure triangle.
Blank. Read. Status. The Scarlet Wombat. BCT. Regarding. Another inexpensive microphone sound.
There's
pitch.
Only two messages
today, 7:33 a.m.
But obviously it's going to let me scroll through all the messages if I want to, but we're just going to interact with this one little table here.
Linked item.
Text.
Done. Aside from the wind issue, how quiet do you find the 853s? I am a bit of a fanatic for a quiet microphone.
Okay, so I'm just going to delete this one.
Messages.
Table.
And I'm going to interact with
linked
the next
item.
One.
Text.
These mics are very sensitive. I record nature with them and have recorded our local singers. They don't like very loud sounds, but I have not used phantom power on them as of yet, just 9-volt battery packs, but they are very good mics. I probably should upload some audio from these mics to Neil for BCT.
Okay.
Next, Cruise Wheel Podcast uploaded.
Edit text.
Row 4, blank, read, status, Neil Rudd.
So, anyways,
BCT,
hush. That's basically what I wanted y'all to hear. Just kind of give you an idea, system preferences. I thought
terminal.
I should text edit. Do that. I said I would.
Terminal Mac readout post audio height multimedia press finder dashboard safari mail iChat icons address iPhoto iMovie AIDVD GarageBand iCal system preferences.
Now, by the way, I can do it through the dock.
Mail line
code. Let me get back in there and I can. Let's see. Oops, I've forgotten how to the shortcut key here to get into
menu bar
on Apple.
Okay, there we go. I wanted to hit Control F too. I've been pushing the wrong deck.
Apple menu about the soft Mac system preferences.
Ellipsis.
System inbox to unread mailbox. System preferences. System preferences.
Window
back
dimmed button.
Appearance
button.
Now here we have appearance.
Dashboard and expose
button.
Desktop and screensaver
button.
International
button.
Security
button.
Spotlight
button.
Now these are all things that I would use as simulated mouse keys, which I've already kind of explained. I can go into a lot more extensive voiceover commands if you guys want to, but I think you could even read up the tutorial. By the way, you can get an MP3 format. It's a great tutorial. I can also hit, let's say I want sound. I can hit
software update
button.
Or I can go, I hit the letters SO. How about SOU?
Sound
button.
Or how about
appearance
button.
Or
security
button.
So you can hit the letters, like the first three letters or whatever. Oh, there's nothing with a V. How about
universal access
button?
Universal access is where you can change a lot of different, like the magnifier, voice recognition, and so forth. So, I mean, you have different ways. You can use arrow key, or the tab key.
Start speech
button.
Start disk
button.
Print and fax
button.
Security
button.
You
can use arrow keys, or you can just type in the first couple letters.
With system preferences, mail, line, full text on my Mac.
Before I end this, I do want to jump into the voiceover menu real quick, and that's voiceover keys and the letter F8. Or actually, you can do F7 and F8. F7.
Voiceover menu, 8 items.
Brings up a whole menu for voiceover.
Help, ? Voiceover utility, F8. Orientation menu. Navigation menu. Commands menu. Preferences menu. Pronunciation editor. Keyboard practice, K.
So, and it does have a keyboard practice, so you can just hit any key on the keyboard and it'll tell you what it does. There's some keys, obviously, like the volume keys, it's not going to say anything.
Close the voiceover menu.
Go over here and do...
Voiceover menu, 8 items.
Oops.
Close the voiceover menu. Open voiceover utility, verbosity. So voiceover utility.
Window.
Verbosity. Selected.
Tab 1 of 5.
Now here you'd tab like you do on Windows.
Some punctuation.
Pop-up button.
First three times, repeated punctuation.
Pop-up button.
Play tone when text attributes change.
Pop-up button.
Every character while typing speak.
Pop-up button.
And I like it that way.
Speak text under mouse after delay.
Checkbox.
20.0% speak text under mouse after delay.
Slider.
And you can change slider, obviously, to which changes the amount of time.
Edit
voice. 20.0.
Edit text.
Voiceover is running.
Here's a little thing. You can put whatever message you want in here. It usually says, welcome to Macintosh. Voiceover is running. You can put whatever you want here just so you know that voiceover is on. You could have nothing there if you don't want to. I just took out welcome to Macintosh just to shorten it up. I haven't thought of anything witty or whatever to throw in there, so I just left it as voiceover is running.
Edit text.
Voiceover is running. Announce when mouse cursor enters a window.
Unchecked.
Checkbox.
That is a handy option, but it drove me nuts.
Announce when the modifier key is pressed.
Unchecked.
Checkbox.
This would be like your control option, whatever. I didn't do it in Windows, and I don't do it on a Mac, and it just, I don't know, just doesn't sound like something I don't really need.
Announce when the caps lock key is pressed.
Checked.
Checkbox.
So obviously you know what that one does.
Caps lock on, caps lock off.
Okay.
Help.
Button.
Reset.
Button.
Verbosity.
Selected.
Tab 1 of 5.
There is no... There's only apply in maybe one or two places here and that I've run across so far in the OS. Generally, just Command-Q automatically saves and quits the application.
Navigation.
Tab 2 of 5.
I just hit right arrow, and now I'm going to hit voiceover keys in the space bar.
Press. Navigation.
Selected.
Tab 2 of 5.
Selected that tab.
Voiceover cursor moves to newly loaded web page.
Checked.
Checkbox.
Group items in web pages.
Checked.
Checkbox.
This kind of groups, this is a good and bad thing. It's kind of handy because when you get to a group, you can actually interact with a group of links on the page. I'm probably, I'll address a lot of this if people really want me to get into the real guts of all this stuff, but I just wanted to try to make this kind of high level and, again, gauge, the interest. Because I could, this podcast could go on for hours.
Navigate images.
Check.
Checkbox.
Only navigate images with a description.
Unchecked.
Checkbox.
This basically lets you skip anything that has the word image, I guess, or any images on a web page or what have you. That's kind of more or less what those options control.
Voiceover cursor tracks keyboard focus.
Checked.
Checkbox.
I think that's self-explanatory.
Keyboard focus tracks voiceover cursor.
Checked.
Checkbox.
So you can have these cursors track each other, which is pretty handy. And it can also sometimes not be so handy.
Voiceover cursor tracks mouse cursor.
Checked.
Checkbox.
Every situation's a little different.
Mouse cursor tracks voiceover cursor.
Checked.
Checkbox.
Voiceover cursor tracks keyboard text selection.
Checked.
Checkbox.
Keyboard text selection tracks voiceover cursor.
Checked.
Checkbox.
Help.
Button.
Reset. Navigation.
Select.
Voices.
Tab 3 of.
Press. Voice. Voices.
Selected.
Tab 3 of 5.
Now you hear two voices here. You can assign the voices to almost anything you want to. And there's several different voices. Some of them I'm not even going to... Well, let me see what I can do with trying some of them out, because one of them is like a musical voice, and it's awful because it really makes it hard to get back to anything.
Hide additional voice options.
Button.
Fret default voice.
Pop-up button.
90 rate.
Edit text.
Rate 90.
Incrementer.
50 pitch.
Edit text.
You can either type in your choice here, or you can actually use the incrementer and make little tweaks to it.
Pitch 50.
Incrementer.
60. Volume.
Edit text.
Volume 60.
Incrementer.
Fret. Content.
Pop-up button.
Here, let me see what we can do about changing the thread.
Check mark.
Good news.
Let's see if it's going to actually play it.
Good news. Good news.
Yeah. Fret.
Check mark.
I have to,
Closing menu.
Let me go to the default
Fret
voice.
Navigation.
Tap.
Fret default voice.
Pop-up button.
90. Oops. Fret default
menu.
Fret.
Check mark.
Good news.
Now usually it'll
Good news. Default voice.
Pop-up.
Nothing is as powerful as an idea. Time has come.
Okay, well, that's like what it lets you sort of gives you a sample of what the voice sounds like.
Menu.
Good news.
Check mark.
Now you see why,
Hysterical.
Oh boy, I'm gonna regret this.
Hysterical.
Menu.
Never mind.
Tap on the phone.
Oops. Oh no, where'd you go?
Voices. Rosie.
Tap on the voices.
Rick. Voices.
Rosie. Tap on the fog.
Navigation.
Tap 2 of
voices. Selected.
Tap.
Voices.
Tap 3 of fog.
Display.
Tap 4 of fog.
Voices. Selected.
Tap 3.
Voices.
Tap 3 of fog.
Unfortunately, when you get this thing in this kind of a situation, you're asking for trouble.
Rosie,
tap on the phone.
Okay.
Navigation,
tap,
Rosie,
tap on the phone.
Navigation, voices, display.
Tap for a phone.
Voices. Voices.
Tap for a phone.
Okay, guys, I had to tweak that a bit to get things back to where I like them. Hysterical voice is awful. Here's Junior. I'm not going to do that.
Princess.
Check this out.
Princess.
Sorry, guys. She doesn't sound like a princess to me. Here you go. Check this one out. I think this is kind of a nice voice. Now, how do you like that? It's a little bit fast, but, here's Victoria. I use her quite a bit for, some of these voices are just no way, man. They're if y'all want me to play a sample of all my will, and they're just kind of some of them make it hard to get back to change some of the settings.
Voices selected.
Tab 3 of 5.
Display.
Tab 4 of 5.
Press display. Selected.
Tab 4 of 5.
Show as a cursor. Check.
Checkbox.
0%. Show as a cursor.
Slider.
Let's just share the size of the cursor.
38.5%. Voice over new notification.
Slider.
Show caption panel.
Unchecked.
Checkbox.
21.4%. Caption panel. 11.1%. Rolling caption panel.
Slider.
You can control. There's like, I guess the caption panel kind of shows like an area of the screen where voiceover is focused, if I recall.
15.8%. Caption panel. Help.
Button.
Reset.
Button.
Slower.
Sorry, guys. A voice crept up on me there.
Display. Display.
Selected.
Tab 4 of 5.
Pronunciation.
Tab 5 of 5.
Prep. Pronunciation.
Selected.
Tab 5 of 5. Table.
Interact with
table
on row 1, text 802.11b, substitution 802.11b, application, any application 802.11b,
edit text,
row 2, 802.11g, 802.11g, any application, row 1, row 2, 802.11g, 802.11g, any application,
spoken.
Row 3, smiley, any application, row 4, wink, any application, row 5, GIF, GIF, any application. Row 6, GUI, any application. Row 7, SMPTE, SMT, any application. Row 8, SQL, SQL, any application.
There you go. So you can add these. I have not added anything to this yet, but...
Stop interacting with...
Table.
So, if you don't like when it says Saint for Street, and put in the word Street. So, there's different things you can do, and I think most all screen readers are capable of this, so... Anyway...
May delete.
Button.
I'm going to kind of stop at this point because I figure I've kind of dragged this podcast out long enough, and it kind of gives you an idea of what you can do, sort of my opinions, impressions. I've been extremely happy with the Macintosh and the Tiger operating system. I believe that Apple will continue to improve and developers will continue to work on making their applications accessible. I think there's generally a real interest in doing this. And I think also Apple's quite committed to continued development. I hope to some point maybe try to convince a lady I know at Apple to actually maybe either do a podcast or at least do some sort of interview and ask some questions. So I can't say that'll happen for sure, but if I can arrange it and y'all have questions, certainly I'll let you know and I'll take those and add them on to the list. If you would like to read more on VoiceOver and maybe even download the tutorial to get some more information, you can go to Apple's website, www.apple.com/accessibility/voiceover.htm. I'm pretty sure it's HTM or HTML. I'm pretty sure it's HTM. If you just go to even accessibility, you'll probably find it, even a link off that page. if y'all are interested in me going into some of these applications and really demonstrating them in greater detail, I'll certainly be happy to do so. I think I will at least... Let me go into Safari real quick and...
System preferences. iCulturize by ID. I'm only iPhone address items. iChat. Mail. Safari. Mail. Line.
Cortex.
Safari.
The,
entitled.
Window.
Back.
Dimmed. Button.
No, I don't have mine set to go to any particular page, so I have it set for a blank page. But let's go to Apple's website.
/://www.apple/selection/deleted Safari has new window.
Now, it'll try to actually fill in and what I think where it thinks I'm typing, so.
/CCESSIDIY/VOC3HTM http://www.apple.com/accessibility/voice.htm highlighted.
I probably typed in the wrong page. By now, what it come up was I'm on a DSL connection.
Blank. Back. Dimmed.
HTML content.
Interact with.
HTML content.
Three items. Safari can't find the server.
Of course it can.
Open page. Select http://www.apple.com/accessibility/ILLI /VOIE/ECCE3HM
Group.
There we go.
Group.
Hot news. Switch hardware. Software made for MAC education. Pro business developer. Where to buy.
Here's the group that I was mentioning.
12 items.
12 items.
Link.
Hot news.
Link.
Switch.
Link
hardware.
So,
stop interacting with
group.
Just jump out of that group of links.
Looking for something at apple.com.
Yeah,
the page you tried was not found.
Okay.
You may have used an outdated link or may have typed the address open http://mml.
Let's see if. Oh, I know why. I apologize. Group. I know
open location. Selection deleted. That Mac.
Image.
Nuts. That was
http://www.lmth3.
I guess it would help if I actually typed in.
OVER3HTM.
HTML content.
Let's see if that does it.
That.
Group. Group. Link.
Education.
Link.
Pro. Stop interacting with.
Group.
Looking for something at apple.com.
Okay, guys. I was just fat fingering the keyboard and typing everything, spelling it all wrong. It's getting late, I guess. My brain ain't quite with the program. All right, I got to. I went to their accessibility page. I just wanted to show you the whole entire page.
Group.
Universal Access logo. Accessibility at Apple.
Link.
Vision. Since 1985, Apple has been committed to helping people with disabilities access their personal computer. Apple's commitment to accessibility is evident throughout the macOS 10 operating system, which is by design not easy to use, but also includes a wide variety of features and technologies specifically designed to provide accessibility to users with disabilities. Apple refers to these features collectively as Universal Access and has integrated them right into the operating system so they can be used in conjunction with a variety of applications from Apple and other developers. Accessibility technologies in macOS 10.
Link.
Harry.
Group.
Zoom. Two items.
Bullet. Link.
Zoom.
Bullet.
Stop interact.
Group.
Full keyboard navigation. Two items.
Link.
Full keyboard navigation. Stop interacting with.
Group. Group.
Sticky keys / slow keys.
Group.
Mouse keys.
Group.
Quick time. Close.
Group.
Visual.
Group.
Quick time. Close. Caption.
Group.
Visual alert.
Group.
Spoken items.
Group.
Talking alerts.
Group. Group.
Speech recognition.
Group.
Display adjustment. Voluntary project accessibility template. VPAT.
Group.
MacOS 10 Tiger.
Group.
MacOS 10 Panther.
Group.
iMac.
Group.
iMac.
Group.
Power Mac G.
Group.
Cinema Displays X. For information on Section 508.
Group.
Section 508, The Road to Accessibility.
Group.
Department of Justice, Section 508, Homepage.
Group.
U.S. Access Board. Find other assistive technologies.
Group.
Looking for special needs solutions? Search our Mac Products Guide to find specific hardware and software that meets your needs.
Image. Group.
Home greater than.
Group.
Blank. Search sitemap.
Group.
Visit the Apple Store on.
Group.
Contact us. Terms of use.
Bright. Link.
Physical/motor. Copyright 2006 app.
Link.
Literacy and learning.
Link.
Language and communication.
Link.
Voiceover icon. Press. Voiceover icon.
Link. Link.
Getting.
Group. Link.
Getting started manual. Period. Read or listen to the voiceover.
Link.
Getting started manual. Period. Read or listen to the voiceover.
Alright, we're
stop
in the group.
With.
Group.
Back out of the group and we're just repeating itself.
Group.
Apple. The Apple Store. iPad Plus Items. That Mac. QuickTime. Apple Support. Mac OS 10.
Those are all the links within that group, by the way.
Group.
Hot news. Switch hardware. Software. Made for MAC education. Pro. Business. Developer. Where to buy.
Group.
Universal access. Logo. VoiceOver.
Link.
Vision. For those with vision disabilities, Tiger includes VoiceOver, a built-in screen reader that provides keyboard control of the computer, enhanced screen magnification options, and spoken English descriptions of what's on the screen. VoiceOver enables many users with special needs to work collaboratively with other Mac users and use a Macintosh without assistance. It's for you. VoiceOver is intended to provide those who are blind, have low vision, or learning difficulties the ability to use a Macintosh. It's perfect for those who have never used a computer or screen reader before, for those who are new to Macintosh, and for those using screen readers on macOS 9 and want to take advantage of all macOS 10 has to offer. With VoiceOver, you'll be able to create and edit word processing documents, send email and browse the World Wide Web, even play chess. Now hear this. VoiceOver reads aloud the contents of documents, speaks a description of your workspace and the activities taking place on your computer. Tiger includes over 20 unique synthesized voices and you can adjust the rate, pitch and volume of each voice individually. Several voices such as Vicky, Bruce and Fred are also optimized to speak extremely fast so you listen to documents at your own speed. You can also assign different voices to speak at different times. So for example, one will speak the menus while another speaks the content of a document. There's also a pronunciation dictionary so VoiceOver will speak names and phrases the way you prefer. When typing, you can set VoiceOver to speak every character or only complete words. Accessible out of the box. With Tiger, accessibility begins the moment you power on your computer. If you already know how to use VoiceOver, you can press Command F5 to activate it and you start using your new computer right away. If you're new to VoiceOver, an editable prompt will instruct you how to get started and introduce you to the VoiceOver Quick Start. It's built into the Setup Assistant application that runs automatically the first time you start up your computer. Using the VoiceOver Quick Start, you'll learn the names and location of keys on your Apple keyboard and practice using VoiceOver so you can set up your computer and teach you how to learn more using online help. A high-contrast white and black contextual VoiceOver menu is always available so you know which commands you can use and it can replace it anywhere on screen and magnified, so you always know which commands are available at any time. Should you ever need to reinstall Tiger or troubleshoot your computer, you'll find the terminal application, utilities and even the Tiger installation disk accessible. Tiger makes it easier than ever before to set up, use, maintain and troubleshoot your system without sighted assistance. See what I'm saying? VoiceOver is designed so you can work together with sighted users in the office, classroom and even on the same computer, naturally. It includes visual elements like the on-screen VoiceOver menu and unique caption panel that displays in large, high-contrast print, what's being spoken by VoiceOver to make it easy for low-vision and sighted users to follow. The caption panel font can be resized and the background made transparent or opaque and moved to any location on screen, all using the keyboard. This visual element enables sighted users to more easily follow what you're doing and can be helpful for those with learning disabilities who will appreciate hearing and seeing what's being spoken by the computer. Unlimited navigation. VoiceOver will speak descriptions of items under the mouse, but is also designed to work using only the keyboard. You navigate menus, windows, controls, text and anything else on screen using the VoiceOver cursor which outlines objects on screen. As it moves, it speaks a description of the item inside the cursor. The VoiceOver cursor is powerful, allowing you to interact with items on the screen as well as hear a description. For example, using the VoiceOver cursor, you can press buttons, drag sliders, turn dials, enable and disable checkboxes, select radio buttons, drag, and scroll. VoiceOver also provides additional key commands for faster navigation and to request information such as text attributes like font and style, the names of running applications, the location of the mouse cursor, and much more. Item list and link list choosers.
Image.
To switch between applications and windows, you can use the Dock, Command Tab shortcut, or the VoiceOver application and window choosers. You can even use the new Spotlight, Link, menu, fully accessible, to find and open applications, documents, mail messages, and just about any other type of document on your system all using only the keyboard. Learn by discovery.
Group.
One of the hallmarks of macOS 10 is that you can learn it through exploration. You don't have to read a manual to get started. Since VoiceOver is built right into the operating system, it works together with all of the key commands and shortcuts you already know like Command-S for save and Command-C for copy. VoiceOver also includes additional key commands that allow you to navigate and ask VoiceOver to speak descriptions of what is on the screen. The commands are mnemonically assigned, M for menu, D for deck, W for word, etc., and related commands are stacked on the same keys, press the same key twice or three times, so you don't have to move your fingers to perform the related command. The key layout for VoiceOver remains the same no matter which application you are using and works the same way on laptops and desktops, so there's no relearning required. Should you forget the location of a key, you can return to keyboard practice at any time to learn its name without affecting the application you're working in. One of the ways VoiceOver helps you learn is through the use of sound effects. For example, as you navigate, you'll hear subtle audio sound effects to let you know when you reach the end of a row, or wrap around from the beginning to end beginning. Through sound effects you'll be able to learn the relative position of items on screen and your location so you can find things more easily the next time. There's also a contextual voiceover menu so you can learn new commands that apply to the item you selected. This menu also provides fast access to commands that let you configure voiceover preferences, learn keyboard shortcuts, reference online help, edit the voiceover pronunciation dictionary, and use keyboard practice. After announcing a menu command, voiceover speaks its shortcut key or hotkey. Next time, you can use the shortcut to access the command instantly without having to navigate the menu again. Even MacQuest 10 online help is spoken, so you can learn about the new features in MacQuest 10 Tiger, solve problems on your own, and learn new features at your own pace.
So, you all want to read through this whole thing, you can go ahead and do that online. I just thought I probably should have played that really in the beginning, but I think it's better to just dive into it and do everything in the haphazard fashion I like to do. Anyway, I realize this podcast is kind of high level, and I didn't really cover probably all the things that you'd be interested in, and as I said several times, if there's something in particular or applications that you'd like me to go into, that would, I certainly don't mind doing it at all. I think this podcast has probably lasted more than long enough to give you a pretty good idea of how voiceover works. I really didn't go into all the key descriptions and so forth. If you have that much interest, I would encourage you to download the Getting Started tutorial in MP3 format. It's professionally done. It's much better than I probably could do justice in any event, just in a podcast. So if you have any questions, you can contact me through the Blind Cool Tech mailing list, or you can send an email to s.howell, H-O-W-E-L-L, at Verizon, Verizon.net. And I hope you all enjoyed it. Hopefully it wasn't too painful. And it's taken me a while to finally get a chance to do this. And when I finally started doing it, I had all these grand ideas. And as you sit here doing it, unfortunately, you quickly realize that, man, there's just way too much stuff to cover, and not knowing really what all folks would be interested in. You just try to touch on, I guess, the stuff that you kind of think is important and give you some references to places where you can get more in-depth information. And hey, if you got an Apple Store near you, I encourage you to go check it out. There's certainly some tweaking you can do to VoiceOver to make it a little more friendly out of the box, and things like checking what cursors are tracking what and so on and so forth. But if you just get the very basics down from the tutorial, you can walk in any Apple Store and start working with the computer right away, right there at the display, or any place that sells Apple computers. So there you go. Again, I hope you all enjoyed it, and send me an email if you'd like me to cover some other things in another podcast, or send me an email saying, man, that was horrible, I can't believe you wasted that much time. Whatever. Thanks a lot, and have a good one.